Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for June 24th, 2012. Koyo Kubose here. So glad you joined us. Well, it's getting near the end of June and crops are growing nicely. And, there's in the hot Central Valley of California, they have a lot of fresh fruit, especially melons. I was reading where some crops, I can't remember the exact crop now, but California, maybe it was tomatoes. You know, tomatoes, of course, is not just for fresh tomatoes in salad, but tomatoes are used to make ketchup, to make tomato sauce. It's used in pizzas. And I think it said something like all those uses of tomatoes, 98% of the nation's needs are supplied by California tomatoes. Wow. It really shows us that California, and especially the Central Valley, is the food basket for the nation. Well, today we're very honored to have as our guest for our little Dharma glimpse, we have Ken Muyo, Lay Minister 2 Group, and he was formerly from Wisconsin. And since last week, he's now on the West Coast in the state of Washington. Okay, Ken Muyo Sensei.
Good morning. This is Ken Muyo Swanson calling from Port Townsend, Washington, wishing everybody a good day. The last Dharma talk I shared with you, we were in the early stages of a major move in our life. We were retiring from work, moving across the country from Wisconsin to Washington State. We were selling our house, buying a new house, and getting rid of things we had accumulated over the years in preparation. Now we've landed in our new home in Port Townsend. It's half the size of the old one, and we're completely surrounded by boxes that we got yesterday, full of things we had forgotten, we packed, and have no idea where we're going to go. Yesterday, we unpacked about 50 boxes, and it seems like there's no end. Since Thanksgiving of last year, we've been working towards this move. We worked all the time to get ready. Now we're working all the time to settle in. When do we rest? We know this is a process. It takes time to pack. It takes time to unpack. It took time to get to know our old surroundings, and it'll take time to learn the new ones. It'll be wonderful. We're in the middle of a redwood and fir forest. We're 5 minutes from the straits, which is the ocean. We're surrounded by eagles, deer, and there are horses and roosters across the street from us. There's no street lights. Our neighbors are close, but not like in the city. It's quiet and peaceful. There is great potential here to be mindful. We just have to remember to do it. One of the boxes we opened today contains a teapot. And then we opened another one, and it contains a sitting cushion. I think that's the way the Dharma is telling us it's time for tea and to reflect and be mindful on what we have. May it be so.
Well, thank you very, very much. I know you're going to love it on the West Coast here. And I was thinking, our expectations of things is really crucial in and how things turn out and how we accept things. Like I was thinking, you know, when you move, hey, how about, you know, you see a U-Haul truck, and part of their, I guess their advertising is their slogan that's printed on the side of their trucks, rental, U-Haul rental trucks, is adventure in moving. You know, moving is, anyone who has moved, it's very stressful. As a college student, I remember I was quite mobile. You have to move during the summertime when you're not in school, and it doesn't seem quite as stressful because you can move yourself and pile up all your personal belongings in the trunk of your car. And of course, you were in some kind of a dorm or a rental facility, and you didn't have a lot of furniture and things like that. So you can imagine then, if you are a homeowner, well, you accumulate quite a few things, and not only that, if you've been in a place for many, many years, the same place, it's just a physical law that garages and attics and closets fill up with stuff. And is there such a thing as a perfect move? You know? Gee, you got to work like heck to get ready, and then you got to work like heck to settle in, and when do you rest? You know, you get through it. No one says, that was a perfect move. Then we could start to look at that idea of perfection. We say, well, gee, is life itself perfect? Is any endeavor perfect? Is any product perfect? What does perfection mean? Is there a perfect spouse? Perfect me? Think about it. Is there a perfect diet, nutrition? Is there a perfect exercise? You know, program, like a perfect lifestyle? How about a perfect person? What would that be? You know? How about perfect fruit? You know, when you look at, there's a interesting thing, I don't know if you know, but in Japan, they have a big culture of gift giving. And whenever you visit, or you know, you always bring a gift, and you always have to meet your sort of obligations. Well, so and so gave me this, and you know, in fact, some people keep track because they want to match. Oh, this person was very generous in their gift, so I have to do likewise. Okay. Social obligations. And in fact, many people, in their front, their closet next to the entrance is a storehouse of gifts that they received. They have so many gifts that, and they have to give so many gifts that it just becomes an exchange of what they received, and then they just give it to other people. And with regard to fruit, the culture is such that, say like a melon, cantaloupe or muskmelon, they try to grow a perfect fruit without blemishes, perfectly round, and they put it into a, you know, elaborate box. And of course, they charge a quite high price. So it's a very perfect gift. Maybe you have to impress some big shot. You buy this expensive fruit, and then the recipient says, "Whoa, this is, you know, wow." Okay. Now the opposite end of this perfect fruit culture or value system, you might think of organic fruit, you know, comes with blemishes, the way nature is. I really learned a lot about what this means, nature. I'm growing things now. You know, I was raised a city boy. Don't know a thing about plants and so forth, gardens. But I did, like my brother said, city boy gone wild here in the last 4 years on our 5-acre property. And as many of you know, previous owner had built a large corral for their two horses. It's in this unincorporated area that we live in. A lot of the lot sizes are acres, large, several acres large, and the zoning is such that you could have horses and so forth. But you know, I converted this corral into a garden, vegetable garden, and I built over a dozen raised bed using redwood planks and filled it up with compost and so forth. And I'm city boy gone wild, everything from asparagus to zucchini and whatnot. And just today, in today's Sunday paper, there's an article by David Moss Masumoto. He's a local organic farmer. Hello? Am I on? Am I reconnected? Okay, thank you very much. Even the Dharma has technical difficulties, I guess. Something happened, and I had to fall back in. I'm using my cell phone now. Talk about perfection. Talk about expectations. Good thing Buddhists are good with spiritual acceptance. Rolling with the punches, going with the flow, you know, the natural way. There's also a big saying like, man makes plans, God laughs, something like that. We should make a simpler type of teaching with the Buddhist terminology. That's your assignment. Well, we're talking about organic, perfect fruit. We have to redefine what we mean by perfection. Because that kind of concept in nature, imperfection is perfection. I recall one of my articles, one of
an article in one of my father's books talking about a flower arrangement, and it was a show, and one of the quite well-known, you know, flower arrangement teachers had an exhibit. So this is, you know, a noted artist. And he noticed that the flower display arrangement, right at the top in a very prominent position, there was a sort of a shriveled up old leaf. And in this article, my father said, gee, you know, it really struck him that here in this beautiful flower arrangement in a prominent place was this old leaf. So, needless to say, this shows sort of a, I don't know if you want to call it an Eastern cultural value or not. This maybe balances what I talked about when I talked about perfect fruit in Japanese culture. But the concept, when we talk about beauty, we're talking about wabi-sabi. And those people that are familiar with that term in terms of the artistic culture and standards of beauty and so forth, wabi and sabi is very difficult to define. That has to do with simplicity, naturalness, nothing sleek, modern, artificial. There's a naturalness about it, and what's valued is something that's well used. You know? So they value, what is valued is, like I said, it's kind of hard to describe, but you sort of get the idea. It's like seeing beauty in a wood grain that's been worn, you know, by use, and has that certain look to it. All right. And they say, I don't know where this comes from, but any great piece of art has an imperfection in it. Deliberately, sort of. Or allowed to be. I won't say deliberately made, but anything that's called, quote, imperfection, that's there naturally, is allowed to remain. You don't have to get rid of it. Okay? Like in that flower arrangement. Now, try to apply this values of cultural definitions and of beauty and apply it to oneself, to life, and your spiritual life. You're trying to seek for enlightenment. Hey, is that perfection? What is that? You know, definitions are not true or false, you know that? They're useful or not. That's how you judge them. Not whether it's, oh, that's, you know, the true beauty. You know, classical Greek beauty is what beauty really is. Perfect beauty. Now, perfect life. You have to think about this, because if you don't, we could be influenced, conditioned by some external standard of how we're supposed to be, what our spiritual life is what's supposed to be. Well, an unexamined, perfect, enlightened state is. What Buddhahood means. You know? And it's crucial because the way you seek things out, what are you seeking? What are our expectations? And one of the greatest contributions of Shinran and Jodo Shinshu Buddhism is the honesty, the nobleness that the original Gautama Buddha, the noble truth that life is full of imperfections, dissatisfactions, afflictions, and that human beings, every individual is filled with, you know, limitations, with human, with the humanness, the naturalness. And the goal is not to remove, but to accept. Not the kind of resigned, defeated acceptance, but spiritual acceptance. That we're filled with shortcomings. And if you think that you're trying to become perfect, oh boy, you're certainly setting yourself up for failure and for a fall. What does success mean? Everybody, that's great, they say, I learn most from my failures. You know, failure is the basis of success. You see, some people, they'll say, that's not perfect. You're not perfect. Oh, you're talking like a great teacher or something. You're not perfect. All our heroes have feet of clay or something, you know, and they're looking and you can become cynical, all based upon a misguided notion of perfection, whether you're talking morally, ethically, sainthood. It really behooves us. I think the whole organic food movement, you know, is tremendously healthy. You know, where you don't have to. The whole consumer market, you know, is driven by what looks good, perfect fruit and so forth. Whereas many times in this article I read, if there's certain scar or, you know, a little bad part of a fruit, just cut it out and the rest is wonderful. And in fact, sometimes, this article says, it's really sweet because, ironically, there's a certain pathogen that grows on the sweetest fruits. The bacteria thrive on the high levels of sugar. That's an idea, sort of an applied notion of wabi-sabi, not just aesthetic value, but, you know. Well, a lot of food for thought. That's all for today's broadcast. And until next time, you keep going, and you have a beautifully imperfect day. Thank you.